This morning, we'll be briefly reflecting on this passage from John chapter 1. So if you'd hold it open, if you have it in your Bibles, if you're looking at it on the insert. And there's an outline in your bulletin in case you're looking for an outline of this morning's meditation. So a brief reflection on the passage. I think for many of us in our childhood imaginations, we all like to imagine ourselves as a member of the king's court. For many of us, we like to imagine ourselves as the king himself, princes and princesses, knights in shining armor, the court jester or the magician. We like to imagine ourselves in those various roles, but not often and not many of us like to imagine ourselves as the herald, and rightfully so. The herald doesn't appeal to us as a very exciting position in the court of the king. Who wants to take a message, not their own, to a people who they don't really know? Yet the role of the herald in the medieval court was one of the most important roles that you could play in the court of the king. Maybe the most important role. In medieval Europe, the herald ranked just beneath the king of arms in the king's court. You see, the herald in the court of the king was so important because the herald took the message of the king. And he didn't just take the message of the king. He took the message of the king with all of its nuances and body language and the inflections. The king trusted the herald with the very words of the king to take the exact meaning of the message to the people. And so for any given king, the herald must be a very trusted advisor, must be loyal with the message, must understand exactly what the king had in mind when he conveyed and communicated the message. Well, the role of the herald is a very antiquated role, isn't it? We don't need anymore someone to copy our words or to try and mimic our body language because we have paper and pen and email and Twitter and Facebook. We can copy our own messages. We can proclaim to the world what we mean, not through a messenger, but through our own words. And so we tweet it. But as we think about the herald this morning, I want to tell you that the Lord God calls his church to herald his message. And he did that knowing full well that there would come a day and an age in the church where we would have access to Facebook and Twitter and emails and paper and pen. And yet he designs this very important role for his church, that you would herald and proclaim his message. We've read about it, for instance, in the book of Acts, where Jesus says to his followers, "You will be my witnesses to the ends of the world. You will testify to my word. You will proclaim my truth. You will speak of me to the ends of the earth." So as we look this morning at this passage, one of the questions is why? Why has God called us to testify of this message? You see, we find in Scripture that it's not out of a plain necessity that God calls us. He doesn't simply say, "Well, you are the best thing I had. I'm giving the message to you. I wish I could have done it another way, but it's going to have to suffice through these people." It's not the way that God has designed it. He has called you and I to proclaim his message as part of his plan for redeeming the world. He has ordered it to be so. He has ordained it in this way. This morning, as we look at John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist taking up this mantle. We see John the Baptist playing the role of the herald. Look at verse 6, where John says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Let me ask you a question. Why in the world does Jesus need a herald? Why in the world does the creator of the universe need people to proclaim his message? You see, we read in verse 3 that he was in the beginning, that he was with God and he is God, that everything that came into existence was created by him. So why does that God need heralds like you and I? You think of all the ways he could have communicated his message. He could have communicated it through telepathy, through osmosis, through miraculous signs and wonders. He could have made it ingrained in each of us that we could not forget it. He could have silenced the devil and written the words across the sky. And yet he chose for you and I to proclaim his message as John the Baptist proclaimed the message here. Why? See, as I think as we look at this passage, we get some of those answers. As we look at John 1, we're going to hear about the role that has been given to you and I, to the church, to herald and proclaim the message, to be witnesses and testifiers and proclaimers, to give the word and to proclaim the coming of Christ. We'll see in this passage why God has designed it to be so. So the first thing I want to point out as we look at John 1 is, first of all, the titles that John gives to Jesus Christ. These titles will play an intimate a connection to our role in heralding that very Jesus. So look at the beginning of this passage. What does John call Jesus? First of all, he calls him the light. That's the first thing in this passage. He calls him the light. He says the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Why does John call Jesus the light? Well, he calls him the light for many reasons, but the most prominent in this passage is that by the light of Jesus Christ, we may see the Father. That we not be in darkness, that the Father might not be shrouded to us, but through the light of the coming Lord Jesus Christ, we might see and have clarity. John calls him the light. What else does John call him? Well, John calls Jesus the creator. He says he was in the beginning. And everything that came into existence has its existence through him. He made it all. He spoke it into existence. He designed it to be so. He has created all that we see. And so he is the creator. But John also calls him the king. I like to call him the God King. I like to mesh the words together. He's the God King. See, John says that he was in the beginning with God, and not only was he with God, but that he is God. Jesus Christ, very God of very God. That he was begotten, not made. He was from before the beginning of all creation. He spoke it into existence that he is the God King. As we think about these titles, the Lord Jesus Christ, John uses these three descriptions then to paint the picture for us of the problem. Of the problem. That's the description of Jesus. But John doesn't stop there. He tells you and I, here's the problem. Here's why any of this is necessary. Here's what is happening in the world that Jesus has come to. And look at what John says. First of all, he talks about the darkness. What does the darkness try and do to the light? The darkness tries to overcome it in verse 4. The darkness tries to overcome the light. And the word for overcome there is an interesting Greek word. It doesn't just mean to overcome. The word literally means to seize, to lay hold of, to wrap your hands around, to subdue, to strangle, one commentary said. That the darkness has desired to strangle the light. It has desired to lay hold of, to wrap its hands around, to subdue it, and to subject it to futility. That's what evil is doing in this world. But John moves on also to talk about the other functions of evil in this world. Not only does the devil and Satan and all the evil powers of the world seek to bring darkness to light, but as we think about the Creator, Jesus Christ the Creator, he says something else about Christ the Creator. He says that Jesus Christ came to this world. He says in verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The very one who created the world did not know him. So when I think about that phrase right there, it reminds me of Toy Story. And I know that sounds odd, but let me tell you why it reminds me of Toy Story. In Toy Story, you've got Woody and Buzz, and you know what they're always doing? Every movie I've seen with Woody and Buzz, they're always picking up their foot, and they're looking at the bottom of their foot, and they're saying, yeah, we're Andy's. His name is written on the bottom of our foot. We see it. We're owned by this boy named Andy. And I think this passage in verse 10, as it speaks about the Creator coming into the world, but the world not knowing him, it's as if you and I have been stamped, not on the bottoms of our feet, but in the very DNA of our souls. We've been imprinted. It has been marked on us. We are identified as being made by the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the world did not know him. Like looking at that name imprinted upon our very being and saying, I don't know who that is. They don't exist to me. And so the world did not know him. But if that's not bad enough, the darkness trying to overcome the light, the world not knowing its creator, and yet John says one other thing here. He says of Jesus Christ, the God King, that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And that's worse. It's worse than the darkness trying to overcome the light. It's worse than a world that did not know him. Because what John is saying here is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to his own, to the people who had been given the law and the prophets, who had seen the signs and wonders, who knew that the Messiah was coming, who read all of the passages that we just read about the coming Lord Jesus Christ, and said, no, we receive him not. We do not accept him. We reject him. He is not the long-awaited king. We will have nothing to do with him. So the God King came, and his people did not receive him. Now, as John writes this passage in John chapter 1, he begins to talk about, though, the remedy to the evil in this world, the way that Satan and the powers of darkness have moved against the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet John says, here's the plan of God in redemption. He talks about it, for instance, in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John moves to talk about the incarnation and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking on human flesh, coming to this world, being born as a baby, living life in this. John says that's one way that the light is driving back the darkness, that eyes might lay hold of him, that ears might hear of him, that the light and the Creator and the King might be seen by all in his coming in the flesh. But you know what? That's not all. Because as we began this morning, I told you, we are also called to be heralds. And I tell you the truth, as we look at John's gospel, one thing that John is so concerned with is that we proclaim these things. That by our proclamation, by our witness, by our bearing of the truth, by our speaking and living, by all that we do that points people to the Lord Jesus Christ who has come and who is coming again, that by doing that, the powers of darkness are being driven back. That light is piercing through the darkness. That the Creator and the King are being exemplified. We see that here in this passage. Look with me at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, that's the resolution in this passage. And when you hear that, let me tell you, each one of those titles for the Lord Jesus, each one of those areas in which the darkness is trying to overcome the light, we also see here represented in verse 12. For instance, but to all who did receive him and believed in his name, do you know, as we proclaim and herald the message, that by the light of Jesus Christ that shines through us, the people around us receive him, that they rest upon his name, that clarity is brought to the proclamation of the gospel, that for them to receive, they must first see. And so as we herald, as we proclaim the message, those around us receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so through you, the church, being witnesses, testifiers, the Lord Jesus Christ is made known to many. And as we continue to read this passage, we see more. Again in verse 12 and 13. In verse 13 it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world that he created, and the world did not know him. But what does verse 13 say? Not only has he created us, but he's recreating. He's actively involved in a work of recreating. And as you and I herald the message, as we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, he recreates. He is making old things new. He is putting to death the old man and making the new man. He is bringing life where only death was. And so by our proclaiming the message, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the creator, but the recreator. And as we look at verse 12, there in the second part of verse 12, it says he gave the right to become children of God. And I have to tell you, that phrase, literally, the Greek phrase, not just the right to become children of God, but the Greek says that he gave them the authority to become the children of God. And if you hear power and nobility in that phrase, I'm glad you do, because that's what it's meant to communicate to you and I. You see, Jesus Christ, the God King, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as we proclaim the message and we testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he does? He gives to his children the authority, the right, the privilege, the power to become children of God. We become children of the God King. We become heirs, princes and princesses. We have access to his throne. We have all the blessings that are due the King. The God King Jesus Christ makes us children of the living God. He gives us the authority to become those children. And so my encouragement to you this morning is that you would consider how important it is that we proclaim the message, that we have been called heralds, that the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his power as creator, God, King, light, in all of that power, he could have designed any way that he wanted to proclaim his message. He could have done that perfectly. He could have done that through any number of means, yet he has chosen you and I. He has ordained. He has called us and employed us. He has given us the job of heralding the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his advent. And so we are called to that. This morning, as we leave this wonderful time of caroling and singing together and hearing from God's word, may you know that by proclaiming him, by being witnesses, by bearing witness about the light and bearing witness about Christ, the very God of very God, you are being his agents of change in this world. You are bringing his power to bear in this world. You're having effect in the places that you go. He employs your life for the sake of his good news. And through you, he brings light to the hearts of men and women who are being made into new creations, sons and daughters of the living God. This is God's work through you among his people. And he uses you to bring this about. So this morning I say, hark, the herald church sings. Hark, the herald church sings. You sing and proclaim so that wherever you go, whatever you do, you herald the King. You herald his work. You herald his birth. You herald his coming. And you know what? You herald his return, that he will come again. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time of year. May we celebrate. May we rejoice. May we proclaim joy to the world, not because of presents or people or of food. May our celebration be rooted in the reality of the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was and is and forevermore will be came into this world. He humbled himself to the point of being born a man, that he suffered through this life and this world, that he suffered temptation, that he perfectly lived to you, God the Father, that he lived perfect life, the life that we ought to have lived, that he died the death we deserve, and that this week now we remember that coming. We remember when hope entered the world. We remember when joy sprang forth. We remember the Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this morning, Lord, that in all that we do, as we sing and speak and hear your word, in everything, you may be glorified, God of God and Redeemer of your people. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.